Blog Talk Radio. Bishop Turner and I want to come to you. And we're talking about the violence throughout the world, what's going on. And I want to say to you that we feel that we must come together as people to make things happen. Don't forget, I'm concerned about your children, your family. I'm concerned about you being blessed. I'm concerned about those who belong to you. Yes, I want you to know that we can change what's going on in Chicago, Detroit, California, what's going on over the world. This is Bishop Turner. I want you to know that. And I just want to come to you and let you know that I'm concerned about your family problem, what's going on in your life. I'm concerned about you. If you'll call me and I call you, we begin to communicate with tools. Wherever you might be, with God, all things are possible. Don't forget, give me a call. Don't forget, I will pray with you and for you. And whatever you need, God can grant you your need. And I want you to know, we must begin to network and work together to make things happen for your home, my home, your village, your business. I want to let you know, your business about to flow. I'll tell you that the things that are going on can work out for you right now. I'm glad to come to you. I want to say this to you today, or wherever I live, all is well. And I want to say it again, all is well for you, the new job, and the things that you're trying to do. I'm trying to let you know that God got your back. This is Bishop Turner. I want you to know that whatever you're going through, if you're trying to retire or you're trying to get a new job or just trying to work on your health, I want to be with you every step of the way. Your miracle is on its way. Your blessing is on its way. I want to take this time to say your blessing is a moment away. I want to take this time to say that you can get what you want. You can have what you want. I want to say that to you, and I want you to know, evening, night, day, east, west, north, and south, I'm going to pray for you. It don't get too dark. It don't get too rainy. It don't too much snow. Winter, I'm going to pray that your blessing come through. Let me say it again. I'm going to pray that your blessing come through right now. I want you to go knowing, sowing, and flowing in the right direction. Direction that you can be successful in the $1 trillion flow. You can be a part of the $1 million club right here on Blog Talk Radio, where I'm on 5 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I'm on the air. You can get me Mondays at 10 to 11. We're talking about Martin Luther King movement. Tuesdays, crossing over with our ancestors. We're talking about things that have lost, you have found, and subjects that will be coming up. And then and on Wednesday, we go deep in the Bible. We talk about Bible class. We talk about the 66 books of the Bible, and we want you to go knowing and sowing with them. And on Thursday, we talk about metaphysics of the Bible, body, mind, soul, and spirit. And Friday, or payday, $1 trillion flow, more money. We talk about the issues of the world, the money issues, the mental issues, what's going on all over the world. We talked about that. I want to thank Brother Calvin, my engineer. I want to thank all the ministers that have been working with us, going to Blackwell. Don't forget, it's very important, Sunday morning from 11 to 12, I'm preaching the word of God. I'm prophesying the word of God. I'm talking about right now your blessing, your miracle, your healing. And every Sunday morning from 11 to 12, you ought to be there in the internet with me. Get a cup of coffee, get some tea, and sit back, tell your husband, tell your wife, and we're going to listen to Bishop Sunday morning from 11 to 12. And I want you to know all is well. This is your bishop. I'm your computer bishop. You can download me. You can get me 24/7. And then you...
Peace and love. This is Bible study tonight. I want to share something with you tonight from 10:30 to 11, I'm in meditation tonight. I'm going to give you meditation. Because I had them crossing over, they didn't understand, so I'm going to give them meditation tonight. But everybody on the line tonight, get ready, get your pencil. I'm going to give you a message. I'm going to give you a prophetic message. So get your pencil and paper. You can put it down. But when I give it to you, don't call me back and say, Bishop, I didn't get the message. Because I'm going to give it to you once and for all. Don't forget, the miracles of Jesus. I still got the book, the miracles of Jesus. I got the book, the miracles of Jesus. You need to have it. I want to tell you, 23:23, I want you to read Psalms 25. It's the trip you get ready to go on, and that trip going to be very successful for you, okay? I just want to tell you that, and your trip might be going to Arkansas, Mississippi, but it's going to be successful. I'm praying for the people in Dallas, Texas tonight, and those that are stormed, the tornadoes coming down to Mississippi, all that. I have prophesied the flood coming from Minnesota all the way down to Mississippi, and it's going to happen to Ohio. The flood's going to hit Missouri, Illinois, Ohio, all the way down to Memphis, all the way down to the Gulf, some part of Louisiana. That Mississippi River going to overflow. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to use 30:30. Psalm 71, God want to do something different with you this year. 494, I want to tell you something. You got to focus more on God. Exodus 14:14, it seemed like you're drifting away from what God wants you to do. Okay, let me say that again. You get up, I'm talking to 6492. You're drifting away from your gift. It looked like you doing something else. You know, the spirit can see and can talk. Shut your mouth, let God work for you. Thank you. Sometimes you can't talk to everybody. I'm going to 1956. I want you to read Psalms 23. And Psalms 12, God finna do a new thing with you. And I was talking to you. God bless you, Kim. I seen you was on the line. Kim in Detroit, Kim in Chicago, and Kim in Arkansas. Thank you. Sherry in Minnesota, Sherry in Monroe, and Sherry in Atlanta. Thank you, kind community. I want to tell you, 1956, hot red. Psalms 38 and Psalms 98, that's going to be a go-through for you. And when you read it, it's a breakthrough coming quick, fast, in a hurry. Okay. I'm going to 1283. It seemed like that. I want you to read the whole book. Let me see what this is here. Psalm 48. Read that whole chapter of Psalm 48. It looks like that's going to be a breakthrough for you for something. I'm going to 7589, and I'm going to look in the miracle book of Jesus. The whole chapter. Revelation 13, that whole chapter. That's for you to read, for you to get the breakthrough that you need. Okay. 1794, Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. Now, that's what that said. And I'm just giving you that. I'm going to you in Detroit, 21:17. I'm looking in the book of miracles. It says St. Luke chapter 8, verse 27, and St. Luke 39. Okay? That's for you. Okay? That's going to loosen things up for you. Now, if I didn't get you tonight, I want you to set another glass of water up. Set up by your bed or in your kitchen, set that glass water. God going to crumble that water. You can sprinkle it. You can drink it. or you can wash your face in it. Okay. But as you put it, it's going to be a badge of honor for you. Okay. So get ready for God to bless you in that way. Now, I want to say to you, I have this book and the miracle of Jesus, but I got the financial covenant. Okay, I'm somebody else I seen on the line. I'm trying to see where they at. Okay, 1283. Proverbs 4:22, Psalm 37, and Psalm 109. Okay. Now I want to say to you, 1283, that's gonna be a yoke broke off of you, and God gonna turn some things around. Okay. Now I want to tell you this: the people who brought that package to you, that was good. That's all they had to do to bring the package. They didn't need to know what you're going to do with it because it ain't their business. And when they bring that other package, they can go. This is something you got to do. And it's somebody you got to do it with, but I'm not going to tell you that until a person getting your vibration, okay? Because God already gave them the message and what to do. And I know what that is. You might know too, but I'm just letting you know. God gave him the message of what to do. Financial covenant, Exodus 14:14, Genesis 50, verse 6-11. Okay, I want you to Revelation chapter 12, verse 1, and St. Matthew 13:8. Tonight is Divine Bible study, and what means the Word of God, and you got to get the Word of God. Now, if you got a need tonight, you plant your seed, and as you do that, the Lord will open up for you, because this Bible study, you should have your pencil and paper ready. You know, sometimes the devil gives you a real bad attitude, and the devil sticks stuff on you. You don't know why you're going through it. It's because you got to, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Okay? So that's what I'm saying to you tonight. You can't let nothing block you. St. Mark, chapter 4, verse 37 through 41. As you read that, that's going to be a lift up off. This is in the book of miracles. Jesus' first miracle. Jesus turned water into wine. And God talked to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God can talk to you too. So God talked to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and God can talk to you. I was talking to a young lady. I said, your hair's so pretty. She said, this is flat. She said, this is hot red. I've never heard that word, hot red. But I'm going to play something for these women. It's got this hot red on. And you got to understand that when God does something special for you, see, y'all get caught up. And like the man said last night, everybody that did anything, the actors, they come out to church. The singers, they come out to church. Everybody in the black community got their start in the church, okay? Their business started at the church, nursing home, whatever they did, they started in the church. Because you can go to the modern hotels downtown. You couldn't go to the Ritz-Carlton. You couldn't go to the Holiday Inn. They didn't have blacks downtown. So and when you went, you had to go to the back door. Hello. But God turned that thing around. You can go anywhere now. But I'm telling you, You need to have your own business doing your own thing, okay? I want to salute all women that's standing up tonight, all women that are making a change. Mothers are being killed, Marvin Gaye said. Mothers are being killed. And the chemtrails are still out there. And the result of them chemtrails is these storms, okay? Some of these storms making these chemtrails happen, okay? I'm playing a sound too.
Catastrophe, but she knows she can fly away.
young to know that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. But he gave women to give birth, he gave women to control things. So women got your low self-esteem. Pick your self-esteem up and know that you're on fire.
She's just a girl and she's on fire, hotter than a fantasy, lonely like a highway. She's living in a world and it's on fire, filled with catastrophe, but she knows she can fly away. Oh, she got both feet on the ground, and she's burning it down. Oh, she got her head in the clouds, and she's not backing down. This girl is on fire.
What's out there? What's out there?
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Blues drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. Ooh. And I'm feeling good. Christian, you see, you know how I feel. There's a running tree, you know how I feel. Blossom on the tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean. Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world and a bold world for me. When you shine, you know how I feel. Spend all the time, you know how I feel. The freedom is mine, and I know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me.
Good about yourself tonight. This is Bible class night, and we want you to read the 66 books of the Bible, but to what I'm giving you tonight, for Psalms 119, read it 4 ways, maybe set your water up, and give it. Now, if you got a question you want to ask about the Bible, all you got to do is raise your hand, and I will tell you about what's going on in the book of the Bible.
Background call just
started.
You say friend with that very trinket. What's the problem?
When that pendant was shattered, Elijah's mind shattered with it. You most likely retreated to the innermost core of his consciousness. That was fine. I don't know.
Where do I go? When there's nobody else to turn to, who do I talk to? When
Jesus. You can go to the rock. Yeah, I want to tell you this here. What will you surrender to him? And I tell you, you ought not be no way tired of what God going to do for you. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard for the goodness for God got for you. And there's a door opened up for you tonight. And as it opens up, it's going to be a blessing for you. And once you turn and things open up for you, it's going to be a blessing for you.
Racial injustice and economic injustice cannot be solved without a radical redistribution of political and economic power.
We read one day, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But if a man doesn't have a job or an income, he has neither life nor liberty and the possibility for the pursuit of happiness. He merely exists.
Estimated that we spend $322,000 for each enemy we kill in Vietnam, while we spend in the so-called war on poverty in America only about $53 for each person classified as poor.
The promises of the Great Society have been shot down on the battlefield of Vietnam, making the poor, white and Negro, bear the heaviest burdens both at the front and at home.
The other thing I want you to understand is this, that it didn't cost the nation one penny to integrate lunch counts. It didn't cost the nation one penny to guarantee the right to vote. But now we are dealing with issues that cannot be solved without the nation spending billions of dollars and undergoing a radical redistribution of economic power.
Yes, yes.
All labor has dignity.
Yes.
But you are doing another thing. You are reminding not only Memphis, but you are reminding the nation that it is a crime for people to live in this rich nation and receive starvation wages.
America's opportunity to help bridge the gulf between the haves and the have-nots. And the question is whether America will do it. There's nothing new about poverty. What is new is that we now have the techniques and the resources to get rid of poverty. And the real question is whether we have the will.
At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. Now, this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check. I come here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to a group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure, high, and clean.
Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings. This is just doing a special short version of the cows. Wanted to speak with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. about homosexual activity. I was able to speak with him privately last week, and he shared some really interesting thoughts, and I wanted him to share that with you all briefly. I didn't want to take up too much of his time. Mr. Fuller, when I spoke with you, you said that white people tend to think of non-white people as boys and girls, and you tied that into how that relates to homosexual behavior. Could you share that with our audience so they can get a really clear picture of what you're saying?
Well, there is a system of white supremacy in place, which just means just mistreatment and domination and use of people in a royalist manner based on color. That's basically what it is. That's what racism is. It's just a variation of the of royalism, but it's based on color rather than on other things. Like lineage and who your father was and what your name was, I mean, 1,000 years ago, and certain sets of traditions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's what basically racism is, and it's turned out to be the most powerful form of royalism in the known universe now in the form of what we call racism and or white supremacy. Now, in any structure, that's dominant. You have to dominate the people in all areas of activity. If you don't dominate them in all areas of activity, then other areas of activity will slip away from the domination factor. And you have 9 areas, according to what I have written, that will just about cover most things. I think that's adequate enough. Economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. Now, I call sex the 8th area of activity in alphabetical order of the other areas of activity. So that just comes up as number 8. But sex is the most powerful motivating force among people, next to the system of white supremacy itself. Because whatever the dominant system is, that's what people react to on the planet. So the dominant system at this particular time in history, and has been as far back as anybody can remember who's breathing now, the dominant system. That's mistreatment of people based on color, domination of people based on color. So the sexual aspect is the second most powerful motivating force rather than the first under this system. Since the racist factor is the dominant motivating force among people, and sexual motivations are the second. Now, the racists, apparently, according to the evidence, have studied how people who are subject to them are motivated sexually. Now, if a male is a boy, which you are a boy, you're a little boy when you're born and whatnot, and then you get to be a bigger boy and whatnot, and at a certain point you reach what they call a certain degree of maturity, which is decided according to the social system that you have at hand. You're now entering the threshold of what they call manhood. So you go from boys to men. Females go from girls to women. And that's the normal process in most societies. So what the racists did was look at that and said, well, you when you have a system of racism, you only have one man and one woman category, and that would be the masters themselves. You can't have your victims of the system growing into manhood and womanhood. So if they start trying to be men, if they go from boys to men, now you have a problem. You have a bigger problem than you had before. When they were boys, they were completely dependent on you. They understood that they'll do your bidding, and they're easier to control. Same way with the girls who are trying to be women. But when they start thinking that they are men, you're not going to have but one man in the house of white supremacy, and he's got to be white. And you're not going to have but one woman, and she has to be white. So now it defies logic that you would allow them to go from boys to men. So if you're not going to allow them to go from boys to men, what will you allow them to do? Because they are constantly growing, they are constantly getting smarter, and they have a natural tendency to want to break away from boyhood and to become men. So what you do is divert them away from wanting to become men and have, if it's a male, have him go from boyhood to femalehood. In other words, he changes his gender altogether, at least in his mind. Then he's easier to control. Then you do the same thing with the female. Take the black female, and rather than allow her to go the normal progression of things, steer her in the direction away from becoming a woman and in the direction of becoming a male. In other words, she will switch genders in her mind. Now, her body didn't switch genders, but we can probably do some things that give her the illusion that her body can be made to switch genders too. Now, when you do that, what you have is confusion. You have added confusion, and one of the best ways to control people for a long period of time, particularly if you confuse them sexually, is through confusing them sexually so that you have a male thinking he's a female or wanting to be a female, even if he's struggling and trying and whatnot and trying to do everything that a female does, but he doesn't have the physical equipment. But he's got it in his mind anyway. He's just determined that he's going to act like one and be one and do the things that females do and look at males like a female looks at males normally. And then over in the female column, have the female do the same thing. Only thing about it, she's not going to try to grow into womanhood. She's going to try to do everything that she sees males doing, including in the bedroom. Try to become an artificial male. And she can do this in her mind because the mind is very flexible. a person can actually think that they are a bird if they want to. But before they try to fly or jump off a building, it's best that they get their equipment for doing so. You know. So that's the way that works. And when you can get people on that roll, and when you have people subject to you, you can always propagandize anything. You can make anything look like it's the fashion because you set the rules for the society. So that's what's going on. I tried to be as comprehensive as I possibly could in that description, and I hope that people could understand what was being said.
Yes, sir.
So that's what we have now. We're heading in that direction now, full steam ahead.
And when I spoke with you, I said that, you know, the counter argument that I frequently hear is that, well, there are a lot of white people who are also participating in so-called homosexual activity. And, you know, this is not something where they're just trying to trick black people into doing it. You have people who are born so-called gay or homosexual. And, you know, this is no trick at all. If it was, you wouldn't see all these white people going around and doing it and being mistreated because they are participating in these so-called homosexual acts. What would your view on that be?
Depends on how it plays out in the end. Now, if the system of white supremacy remains intact, then that will prove the supposition just outlined. That will prove that it's valid. That is, it is designed basically to support what is already in place. Otherwise, you would have the system of white supremacy would go out of business. There would be no reason to keep it in business if the white people were serious about really getting rid of racism and getting rid of what they call all of the sexual and gender categories and all like that, because racism is an artificial category. See, just because people are of different colors doesn't say that they are members of a race. That's an artificial construct. No one is supposed to be a member of a race. That's something completely made up. So if you can do the same thing with gender. You can do the same thing with a lot of things. But you have to wait until it reaches a certain point where you got enough evidence to prove the proposition that you made in the first place. Now, like I say, this is my concept of the way things are going, because there is still a system of racism in place. Now, if racism is still in place, when all of the so-called anti-sexual, that's what I call it, behavior, comes to full fruition, and everybody's accepting of it, everybody's participating in it, or embracing it, or parading it around, and saying that it's the best thing ever discovered since ever, okay? Now, and you still have a system of racism in place, then that will have proved the supposition, because ordinarily all of racism would disappear. But see, it's designed to lure. Now, here's where I based that on, the luring part. In the history of the system of white supremacy, there's a thing called whiskey. It was very popular, the use of it. Now, if you are a practiced deceiver, one thing that you know about the science and the art of deception, you cannot deceive people into doing things unless you are doing quite a bit of it yourself. If you're going to be what you call a real arch deceiver, and the white supremacists have proven that they are arch deceivers, they are very skillful at deception. So in order to deceive people, you can't get people to drink whiskey, and you're sitting there never drinking any of it yourself. So there's some historical record of this. So what they'll do, a deceiver will sit there and practice drinking whiskey under controlled conditions. You know, take a little sip, know exactly where the point is where you get good and drunk, or where you don't get good and drunk. Then once you learn what they say, and some people brag about it in bars and whatnot, said, hey, I can drink you under the table, meaning they can outdrink you, that you will drink. I mean, that they will drink, and you will drink. But when they drink, they don't get drunk. But you wind up drunk. Many males who have tried to deceive females into sexual activity, you know, back in the days when whiskey was a bigger thing than dope, used to get into the booth in the restaurant and start that process. Say, now, what I'll do, I know she's not willing, really, but she'll be willing before the night's over because I'm going to get her to drink some of this stuff that I brought with me.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll be drinking and she'll be drinking. He'll take a sip, she'll take a sip. Next thing you know, she's willing to go along with anything. She doesn't know what she's doing, but he does. Now, many a person, particularly pimps, understand that thing very well. Now, it's the same way with whiskey as it was used, according to the record of white supremacists themselves, in dealing with people who are called Indians. Sit down, Chief. We're going to have a Thanksgiving Day. We're going to give thanks for all of the wonderful things that have been done for both me and you by our Maker, by the great spirits. And, in fact, I brought some spirits with me. It's in a bottle. You never had anything like this before, but you will want it after you get it. It's called fire water. It's full of spirits. It'll give you spirit like you have never had before, Chief. And the chief said, well, what's wrong with just pure water from the river, from the great streams of our lands? Say, oh, yeah, but you never had nothing like this. This is something we made in a factory. It's got water in it. No mistake about that. But we got a little alcohol and a few other stuff, a little other stuff that I've added here. It'll pep you up, give you another perspective on looking at the mountains altogether. Might be good stuff. So he gives it to the chief. And at the same time, now, the chief is a little suspicious. So he's drinking right along with the chief. So that means everything must be okay. So he's drinking. I'm drinking. Next thing you know, the chief is under the table. Chief's not used to it. And then the white supremacist, while he's drunk, or when he begins to come out of the stupor, says, okay, chief, I got some paper here I want you to sign. I'm going to give you $22 for Manhattan. Now, when the chief really gets sober, see, now he's angry. He wants to go on the warpath. But he's already signed everything away. And what was the instrument for doing it? Deception through an act of using whiskey. Now, the whiskey, you know, that's working all over the world and they're starting to do it in South Africa, in Thailand, and other places and whatnot, is sex and anti-sex. Oh, you don't need to be a female all the time. After all, females have to go through a lot of agony. Wouldn't you like to be like your brother? Well, I don't have the equipment of my brother. Oh, well, you can pretend that you have it. I got some stuff I can sell you in the store. Strap-ons, you name it. And you just get it in your head that you should be a male. Because males can get things done. They got privileges that females don't have. And you say, well, you know, I don't particularly, you know, the lady says, I don't particularly want to be a male and all like that. Well, it's something, you know, have you tried it? You don't know it. Don't knock it if you ain't tried it. And knowing black people, particularly in this area of the world, we like anything that looks like it's bordering on something new. Because we're so tired of everything that ain't new. And they won't know, we'll go for it. We'll pioneer, you know, we'll lead the parade, which is what they try to get us to do. Now, you can't get a decent place to stay. You can't get a decent job. But if you want to lead the gay parade and you're black, they will reserve a spot for you. If you don't believe it, try it. That's what I mean by evidence of what I'm talking about. The record shows this. And they start with who? The youngest, okay, always work with them in the choir and churches and whatnot. And they do it through the most intelligent of black people. They don't start with the fellow sitting there with the wine bottle in front of the liquor store who's 40 years old. Because he's a black male. That's why he's drinking. He's been disallowed to ever be a man, and he knows he'll never be one. He'll always be a boy. And that is tearing him up inside. That's why he left his wife, left his children, and all like that. I mean, he gave up on everything and started drinking. That's why he's sitting on the curb out there. because he's still struggling to be a man, and he will fight people right there in that parking lot about his manhood. So you can't hardly get to him, even when he's drunk. You say, oh, man, get away from me. Don't be feeling on me. I got this big hip woman out here, you know, this big leg woman out here, you know. You know, if I want to do something like that, that's who I'm going to get with. I don't want you. Get your old rough, dirty hands off of me, you know. Man, I like women, you know. I'm a man, you know. I'm a man. Look at me. I'm a man, you know. I don't want no man. Even when I was in the joint, I didn't want one. See, that's the way he'll talk. He's 40 years old, okay. But what do? They go around and get the teachers and the guys who are going into the ministry. And that's where they spread that gospel. Among black intellectuals. Because the street dude, see, he's still struggling. I mean, he ain't going to never make it. Because you can't be a man under the system of white supremacy. You got to remain a boy or turn into a female. By turning into a female, I mean having the kind of ideas about the opposite sex that a female has. But you're a male. But you got the same idea about a male as your sister has. You're trying to outdo her. You're trying to take your sister's boyfriend. That's the way the white supremacists want it.
My co-host, I believe is here. She is a non-white female, and she is 10 years old. But she has been studying your work, and she understands that there is a system of racism, white supremacy. I was hoping she could ask some questions as well. Are you there, Justice?
Hello?
Yep, we can hear you.
Okay. Did you... Sorry about the misunderstanding. Okay.
Do you have some questions you would like to ask Mr. Fuller?
Not at this moment.
Okay. I will,
well, she can think about what I said. See, here again, codification is about not taking Neely Fuller's word for anything. In fact, you're not supposed to. You're supposed to just walk around and take a look. See, just don't jump into things. Just walk around and take a look and see if it doesn't start adding up. Because that's what I do. I don't jump to a conclusion and then go around trying to bombard people with the conclusion I jump to. I just go around and see if there's evidence of what I think might be happening. In fact, I challenge, you might say, if you want to use that term, I say questioning, it's not a challenge. If I have a concept, I'll go around and question the concept that I have before I even reveal it. And see, you know, well, something is going on. Now, why is this happening? Why here? Why now? How come it wasn't happening, you know, 60 years ago? Why is it happening now? And why is it happening involving black people on this scale? See what I mean? And I'm saying now, someone must have thought it up or it wouldn't be happening because it's something that's happening between people. And anything that black people do, the white supremacists always have something to do with it. Otherwise, it's not going to be happening in the first place. If it's something that's bad for their business, they will cut it off. They'll put a stop to it. But if it's something that they think is good for their business, they'll not only let it roll, they will support it. Now, I've heard white supremacists argue about white people engaging in what we call homosexuality or gayism or lesbianism and whatnot. And that's another thing, even the terms don't add up, because I've even asked the questions, which is what you do in any kind of research. Why are gay people called gay?
But
nobody answers that.
Nobody.
Is it named after a person, Mr., you know, Frank Joshua J., gay or what, you know, who started it, you know, or who promoted it, who had an organization by that name and it was named after him? I can see that. But it's just, you know, all of a sudden, gay. What does that mean? And then you say gays and lesbians. Then you add another one, transgender. Gays, it started off just being gays, then lesbians, then transgender. So one legitimate question is, where is the cutoff point? See what I mean? And another thing, is a lesbian gay? Why do you say gays and lesbians? I mean, you know, these are just questions, logical
right.
questions.
Right.
If you got a big sign out and you're carrying it around and telling everybody to join in and support it and contribute some money to it and all like that, people should know what they're contributing money to.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And another thing, where is the payoff? Now, if it's an improvement over what we call traditional sex, because they call it alternative, that's another term. This is a alternative, you know, meaning something that's different from the usual or something that's various, a variation of the basic. Well, then you ask several questions there. Well, is there anything incorrect about the basic? And a person might say, no, but this is an alternative, of course, you know, for people who just got tired of the basics, want to do something different. What's wrong with variety? What's wrong with diversity? Diverting from one thing to another. Well, maybe nothing, but let's examine it. Examine it for what? To see if it is an improvement over what you already had. And if so, justified by showing, by example, where's the improvement, which one of these, see, when you start talking about homosexuality or lesbianism, these are not just abstract words. These are talking about, you have to do certain things to qualify. So what are these things that you do? And which one of them is an improvement over what has been done? That's just like a person might come around and say, well, hey, you know, I used to kind of be attracted to people, you know, I've had several wives and all like that. Even had a little incest, I mean, every now and then, I mean, you know. But I finally came to the conclusion that people ain't where it's at all. I'm in the bear. You know. You say, what do you mean you're in the bear? I'm into bear. I go out in the woods and I chase me down a bear. The bear ain't chasing me no more. I'm chasing them. I have found that that's a wonderful alternative. I mean, after all, man, I mean, let's face it. Look at these marriages and divorces and whatnot. I don't have no trouble with the bears. I mean, I used to didn't think of anything about bears except just going to the ball game, you know. But I found out that, man, if you really snuggle up to a bear, you'll never want to go back doing nothing else. Now, where'd you get that idea? Well, it just came to me one night. Tired of these women. In fact, people was telling me, well, if you don't like women, get you a man. Well, I'm tired of them, too. So I'm in the bear. See, now, you might laugh, but it's going to come to that, if it ain't already. Because there are some people into that. Yeah, they call it, what do you call it, bestiality?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, see what I mean? That might be a wholesale thing in about another 10 years. They say, well, hey, well, you know, this gay and lesbian thing about played out, man, ain't where it's at. You know? Man, everybody's trying to preserve the bears now. You know, I'm trying to get me a panda. Now, what is the point that I'm making? It's a lots of things that the mind can do. The mind is extremely inventive and extremely flexible. But the basic question is this type of activity an improvement? And if so, why? Otherwise, why are you coming around asking black people who don't even have a roof over their head that this is what they should be pushing now? They don't even have a decent school or a decent job. But now you want them to join the gay rights movement, and that should be their priority. We should drop everything else and make that a priority. I don't see the justification at all.
Mm-hmm.
They have some white people who came around years ago and started saying, calling it the rainbow. You know, kind of, you might excuse the pun, tailgating Jesse Jackson's rainbow push for civil rights. And then they got to saying, well, what is this all about? And when the question was asked, they answered by saying, well, it's another division of civil rights.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all the same thing. Discriminating against gays is the same as discriminating against blacks. And a lot of black people say, wait a minute, it may sound like the same thing, but it ain't the same thing. But they were able to shout all of that down. It is the same thing. Why is it the same thing? Because I said so. White supremacy in action again. Always, because I said so. See, but, you know, but that don't, you know, it sounds like it could be right, but it's something that don't, still don't add up. It ain't the same thing. It is the same thing. Trust me. No different. Discrimination is discrimination, which is another word that people should pay attention to. Everybody discriminates every day. You discriminate when you decide to ride the bicycle to work rather than catch the bus. And does that say that you are discriminating against the bus riders? You know? So that word discrimination, I don't even use it because everybody discriminates. It just means choosing. But what is the key? The key is it a choice that's constructive? When you start talking about black people's plight now, see, that's a different thing altogether. Is it constructive or is it non-constructive? Because it's got to be one or the other. Is it an improvement? Now, we already have a mess with the male-female thing. But you would have that anyway under any system that's unjust. But now, are you making a bigger mess or are you straightening out all the mess that ever was? I have no reason to believe that this is helping to straighten out anything. Mm-hmm. It's helping to make it worse, particularly when you start doing it right down to the grade school level.
Mm-hmm.
Start saying that this is something that, and this is just what you children need. You're 7 years old, and this is what I need? I don't even know what sex is yet. Now you're telling me about alternatives to sex. Well, let's start out so that your mind will get straight. Now, Jane has two mommies, thinking about getting three. Now, what benefit is this to Jane? Well, she learns diversity at an early age. Diverting from what to what in order to do what? Oh, well, we'll know when we get there. Don't ask so many questions. Oh, no. I got a lot of questions. You know, show me how this is a what? Improvement. Which one of these acts? See? Well, you know, being gay. Don't you understand what being gay? It used to mean being happy. And I mean, you know, but that ain't what it means, I don't think, when you say it. So you're talking about acts. Show me by demonstration the very act that you're talking about that's going to be an improvement. And then show me, tell me in words how this is a great improvement. Tell me, you know. First do the act with me looking at you. And then after you finish the act, you'll say, now that's act one of being gay. You ain't gay unless you do this. See? You know, there's several things you can do to qualify for being gay. So you got to have qualifications. Otherwise, what's the difference between you and everybody else if you don't do something different? So you got to do something. So whatever that difference is, you do it. Then you get before, you know, come to the blackboard with the pointer and whatnot, and you say, now, number one, this is an improvement over whatever it is you all are doing out there. It's not just an alternative. And I'm telling you this because you should be on board for supporting Act Number 1, which I just demonstrated to you. This is what you actually ask people to do. See, in other words, stop just talking in circles and whatnot and talking in innuendo. Get the crowd there to come and take their seats respectfully and then march down the aisle and come up to the podium and have your bed up there or whatever it is you're supposed to have, and do what it is that you say that everybody should be taking an interest in and supporting. And then as you do it, you can turn around and face the crowd every now and then. Just take a little break. Say, now, you saw what we just did. Now, this is an improvement over what has been because of. And then enumerate the improvements and ask for questions and answers. Because if I'm in the audience, I'm going to say, now, how is that an improvement? I just saw what you did from start to finish. I sat here and watched it for 15 minutes until you completed it. Didn't say a word. Now I want you to tell me how that's an improvement over what? I think that what I'll hear is silence. But I don't know. See, because they never get that far. They just go around and say, support us. And if you don't support us, oh, you're some kind of demon. You're some kind of anti-something. No, just explain what you're doing. I mean, like the chief. I don't know about that fire water. You know, how is that going to improve me? How is that going to be an improvement over water? Say, well, didn't you get a little buzz when you... Yeah, I got the little buzz and all like that, but is it an improvement? Say, well, didn't the mountains look like you saw two of them instead of one? Wouldn't you like to have an extra mountain? Well, an extra mountain might help, but that's not really what I was looking at. I thought I was. Well, Chief, that's what whiskey does. It makes you drunk. Well, is being drunk an improvement over being sober? Well, if you work at it. See how they talk? And they do the same thing with sex.
Again, I was going to see if Justice, if she had any questions she would like to ask Mr. Fuller.
Okay.
Justice, are you there?
Hello?
Okay, we can hear you. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I don't have any questions right now.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's why I'm saying, if they don't have any questions, there's no problem there. All I want them to do, I have said what I had to say. I just want them to think about it. After they think about it and think about it thoroughly, they may come to the conclusion that nothing that I said made sense. In which case, they can go ahead with whatever they think is they hear somebody else say. But I think that anything, particularly something that's supposed to be new or you're expanding on something that's old, should be examined. You know, somebody comes to me and says, Fuller, you need to quit this job. I mean, it's a better job over there in that other town, whatnot. Now, I'm willing to listen, but we're going to have to take a weekend and go over there and have me take a look at that job. See what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and I ain't going to just sign off and whatnot. I mean, go in there and cuss the boss out and quit and then go running off to the other job. I mean, I haven't even looked into it. I'm just asking people to take a look and see where all this goes. And when I say take a look, I don't mean just a short look, because this is pretty big stuff. You take a good long look before you go plunging in, okay? Because there's an old saying, if you snore in a bear's face long enough, you'll learn to like it. But bear might not be where it's at, You might get to the place where you can't bear it. But it'll be too late. Because now you're hooked. Just like the chief got hooked on that whiskey. Ask any Indian about whiskey. And ask, is whiskey a friend to the Indian? But when they first got it looked like it was a friend. He no longer felt the cold. I laid out in the snow all night last night, Maybe the white man got it right. I didn't feel nothing. I woke up with a smile on my face, and I wanted some more, It destroyed him. This thing that the white supremacists are doing with sexuality and bringing it to black people, beware.
I agree wholeheartedly. I especially started paying attention to that when I was seeing so many different black so-called stars, black people who have a lot of money, are well-known.
Oh, yeah, those are the ones you get first.
Mm.
Yeah, and then have them finance what you are doing to them.
Yes, sir. I have noted the white people who allege to be against racism, white supremacy, so-called anti-racists. A lot of them, they will talk about what they call white privilege, and then with that, they will talk about people who are not gay, that they are also privileged, and that they, you have mistreatment of people because they are a person of color, and then you have mistreatment of people who do not engage in heterosexual behavior. How do you feel that plays into the system of white supremacy?
Well, for one thing, they'll take antidotes. That's one thing they'll always do. You'll always, you can always find an antidote. In other words, an example. Some black person who is so-called gay, a homosexual, lesbian, whatever it is, gets beat up. Maybe get killed. Okay? Many people get killed every day for something or another. But the way you looked at me, I mean, you know, so I'm going to kill you. People get killed about that. Okay? So you can always find an example. But what they'll do, they'll just sit back and wait for someone to pick out somebody who's homosexual and beat them up because they are homosexual, okay? Well, basically, these are people that go around and beat up people, period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't need much excuse. They're looking for somebody to beat up. All right? See, so that's not unusual. But but here's how shrewd the so-called white supremacist arm of the gay rights movement is. They know that's going to happen. And then when it does happen, they'll say, see? See, that doesn't happen all day, every day. In fact, where it comes to black people, most black people, has been my experience, coming up in the South, the black male, and I knew some of them, the white supremacists would find out that this black male is a homosexual. That's who he'd hire. The black male who is looking at females when he comes over there to get hired at the white hotel. No, we don't want you around here. Absolutely not. But we'll take this black male here who likes for people to take him into the men's room, other males. We'll put him behind the desk. You know? And give him a promotion and everything. And other white people will come in there and say, what is that Negro doing behind that desk and whatnot? I thought this was a white hotel and whatnot. Yeah, but check him out. He's no danger. He's a plaything. He's all fun and games because he doesn't want to be a man. So you've got no threat ever to him. He's no problem. And I have seen that over and over again. Because I used to wonder about some guys being able to get jobs where they're not even supposed to be. The old jobs, I mean, you know, where, hey, you know, some white guys couldn't get the job. But they got a black elevator operator over in that building. Yeah. Because you see, you got white men who are servicing. You know, he's giving service to. That's just another branch of the service. Okay? Now, the black guy who comes in there looking at the white women, see, I mean, hey, yeah, if he's lucky, I mean, you know, in first place, he ain't going to get the job. And sometimes if he does, he might wind up swinging from a tree. Okay. So then that told me something. I mean, that was before I got out of my teens, I started learning that. There are some black males who wasn't even homosexuals, but they acted effeminate, and they were accepted by white people. They could sit there, you know, sit around the table and whatnot, as long as they were talking girl talk and whatnot, talking about how you fix your hair and all this type of stuff. Hey, they're all right. And you can notice that today.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Blackmail in the office. I mean, who kind of, you know, kind of tips around and you know, has, he might not even be a homosexual, but he has what most people would call feminine ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, obvious feminine ways. Not all people who believe in homosexuality have obvious feminine ways, but some people who are not even homosexual, you know, on the surface, they have high-pitched voices. They don't have that deep voice like some black people have, all right? But they talk, you know, in a high, real high-pitched voice, you know, and they're always smiling and always tipping, you know, and switching. They switch more than the females, okay, when they walk. Very acceptable, you know.
I
just give an example. I mean, you know, he talks like, you know, have you all been to coffee? You know, stretch out that last word.
Mm-hmm.
Coffee, you know, coffee anyone? You know, a male who talks like that? Oh, yeah. See, white people notice him. They pay attention to him. They know he's black. Exceed black. Hey, but hey, you know, he's okay. He ain't no danger. He's a little cutesy plaything.
Definitely not a man.
Right. He ain't trying to be no man, so he ain't no threat to nothing. You know? He's no danger to the system of white supremacy. That's the bottom line. Back in the ancient days, what they used to do to make sure, they'd make eunuchs out of them, meaning they'd castrate them. Then they'd dress them up in a big gold suit, put a big turban on their head, and they'd stand them outside of what they call the harem or the concubine room of whoever the ruler was. And he was the guard. See, they'd let him mingle with the girls in there all the time. I mean, he'd be the only male in there. I mean, what had been a male, but he's castrated. He got no equipment at all. But he got big, strong shoulders. He can whip anybody, you know. And his job is to keep other males from coming in there. Black as he can be. Got a big gold turban on. Big, expensive. Got plenty of bling bling. Boy, they put bling bling all over him. I mean, he's a walking showpiece. Got some gold shoes turned up at the end. Great big red sash around his waist. That's his full-time job. Stopping people at the door. What are you doing in here? You don't have no business in here.
In her relationship to that struggle, all the years her husband was in jail, they have not examined the tragedy of the recent separation, and they have not understood that when people play a role in our liberation, similar to Winnie Mandela and Nelson Mandela, they should not, even when they separate, have any public display of it. If we go back to the African system, the elders would gather them in a closed room. I don't mean they make them stay together. The reason for them separating would never become common gossip. Because when people have played that role in your liberation, you respect them enough not to start rumors concerning them. Winnie Mandela is a human being. And at her age now, she's still a very physically attractive human being. All the years when Nelson Mandela was in jail, let us understand one thing. She was in the heart of that liberation movement, went to jail, suffered, went into house arrest. When you go through all of this without a husband and raising two children, because you are a human being with human endurance, you need somebody to confide in. You need somebody to show. to lean on and shed a tear. Else you lose command of yourself. Nelson Mandela, a human being. In jail, he found not only an outlet, but a way to organize other prisoners and to occupy his own mind, even studying rock formation. Now, with all of this, these two human beings under pressure of a fascist government that you have not studied, people talk about South Africa, not read one single book on it, no time. It may be unfortunate that I'm not going to become a dictator. Because I believe that there are certain things in the world either have to be dictated or they don't exist. Everybody that goes to Africa, so far as I'm concerned, would have to read 3 books and explain them before they can go. No passport. No visa. No nothing. That's right. And people who cop out on their blackness, people like Roy Innes, I would have certain mornings when I would have executions. They will be executed before they have their breakfast while watching me eat my breakfast. Because I'm tired of nonsense. And I'm tired of ceremony without substance. Now let's hang into this, what we're talking about. We're talking about two people in South Africa in the midst of a struggle. Now, in the midst of this struggle, when you're paying attention to this struggle, you have to remember that people who've been associated with over 50 years. And when the MacArthur period was driving black writers and so-called leftists and activists to cry and to weep and to confess on their friends, I wouldn't let it happen to me. But what did I do? I took a minor job at NBC at night. Night supervisor of maintenance in one of the uptown studios. High-sounding job. Nothing but a damn porter. Supervising some other porters. And because I supervised them so well, and they got all the offices cleaned and there was no complaint, they were paid for 7 hours. They finished in 4 and went home and held down a job in the day and together family, sent the kid and paid a little mortgage, everything. So long, no complaints. You know, so I'm all right. And I have to be there, whether they're there or not. And what did I do? I mean, after they're gone, I'm got all the NBC telephones available to me. I can call all over the world. I called my friend Houston Udom in Nigeria in the middle of the night. No, what the hell is wrong with you? Crazy enough. I got a free phone. So I used it. Now, what I'm trying to focus in on the situation that produced a Nelson Mandela and the situation that produced a Winnie Mandela. I said long before, even as much as 2 years before he was released, if there was a betting contest about who would be run for president of South Africa, my bet is on Winnie Mandela. Now, why? Why did I say Winnie Mandela instead of Nelson Mandela? Because I know in 27 years in jail, living under a fascist government, they've got time to play games with your mind that you cannot control. And so let's look at him. Not as a cop, not as the president of a country, but as a compromise waiting for the real revolution to occur.
If you have Prime, you can get a year of Grip Up Plus free.
A holding action. Now let's look at Winnie. A nationalist who realized the one thing that you're going to have to realize if you bring off a revolution, you've got to have the land back. The land is the basis of nation. Without land, no nation. She said if she can't get what she wants, take a gun and go back to the bush. That's revolutionary. Now, you have a commission in South Africa looking into past atrocities, and you got people confessing to past atrocities with the agreement that they will go about free. What other people in human history treat their enemies in that way? When they catch them, they kill them or drive them out or bury them. And yet we of all people, where the greatest atrocity has been committed, were asked to forgive, take one of the great moral leaders of the 20th century, Bishop Tutu, to head the commission. Do you mean to tell me you're going to forgive Sharpeville? You're going to forgive Soweto? You're going to forgive the bulldozing of the whole villages of African people in a land that was theirs? Is that the gas has turned on them? You're going to forgive the death of Stephen Biko? All of this is going to be put behind you by some damn commission? We're supposed to be better than any people in the world, but our great spirituality, we're going to forgive. I grieve today over the death of my mother because she died of a disease that was unnecessary. People don't even die of it anymore, called pellagra. Pellagra is a diet deficiency. All she had to do to cure herself is to eat. Now, as a kid, 7 and 8, less than that, I noticed my mother serving everybody, making sure everybody got it. You got a little more, you got a little more. And she was left in the pot. She'll take that and you never sit down. I did not know she was killing herself. And I go to the hospital, and stinky wooden Jim Crow hospital. I hate hospitals to this day. She asked for a drink of water. I tried to get it for her, and a white nurse told me, "Boy, you don't work here. She don't get water when I say it." She was boss of the black nurses who wouldn't give her a drink of water. Do you think I will forgive the society that killed my mother? Then how can I be asked to give, and how can I expect South Africa to suffer more? To forgive. Let's be real. All of this talk about African liberation, all the libations and the ceremony, it don't mean nothing unless you are willing to work for the liberation of African people, to work for the liberation of African people, you've got to be serious. You've got to be able to face the truth. And how can you help South Africa when you don't even know what you are helping? You don't know the whites there. You don't know the blacks there. Oh, during this MacArthur period, I'm working at NBC at night. I'm reading South African history in day. I'm writing a whole book on resistance movements in Africa, especially South African resistance movements. I'm reading all the books of competence written on South Africa, how the Boers got there. And you're not going to understand South Africa until you understand the Boers. You got to understand the Boers are Calvinists. You got to understand the Calvinist branch of the Christianity. Because the Calvinists said that they are ordained by God to rule over lesser breeds. And so when they created apartheid in the atrocities of African people, they did this in the name of God. Now, take the people, the Arabs, who killed those people at the hotel in Egypt, shouting, God is great. I'm saying the most atrocities ever committed against human beings in human history has been committed in the name of God. If you commit an act of murder in the name of God, then you are charging God with the approval of an ungodly act. And by affiliation, you are an atheist. Because you have made God ungodly by asking him to join you in the crimes you're committing against other people. Now, you're not going to face South Africa by just being against apartheid, because the larger issue is European domination of the land. Now, slaves were taken out of West Africa. Slaves were taken out of North Africa through inner West Africa. The slave trade existed all along the coast of East Africa, and the Portuguese slave trade met the Arab slave trade coming from the north, and a lot of these slaves went to Brazil and parts of South America. And the Arabs destroyed the matrilineal system. For the patrilineal system, the lens coming down through the mail. Go to the marketplace in East Africa right now. Yes. Male dominated. Go to the marketplace in West Africa right now. Female dominated. Because the Africans who Islamized the Africans in West Africa knew what part of the culture to leave alone. One part of the culture you better leave alone is the matrilineal system. The lineage comes down from the female side. Therefore,
over the past 6 months, we have been investigating as well as exposing the truth behind all of these food products.
The king's son cannot be king, but the king's sister's son cannot be king. Now, what is the African intelligently done? He's cutting down on competition between the father and the son over the kingship. Because the son became an able assistant to the father because he knew that that is how he's going to get. He will never be king because he's been ruled out. Otherwise, if he can be king and father keeps living on and on and on, he might think of some dependable poison to get father out of the way, but he wants to be king. To understand this, you've got to understand African customs. To understand history, you have to understand customs. You have to understand folklore. You've got to understand something else, the rule of honor in warfare. The African did not hit you in the back. The two warriors would face each other, and they'd step back 10 feet, give the opposing warrior the time to change his mind. And that Alfred would never fight a coward. All you wanted to do, all you had to do now, I'm afraid, nobody gets any mileage from fighting someone who's afraid. Against his manhood. This is why growing up, chatting at Fort Bend in Georgia, Eisenhower, and Omar Bradley, and I wasn't doing anything. Hey, Pee-wee, that was my nickname because I was so small. Supervisor Crockett. I said, I ain't betting nothing now. I'm supervised. Why did I get to supervise the crap game? No one could get a reputation beating me up. If you are so bad for a reputation, you got to beat a little Pee-wee. We know he doesn't see your man. Because a star child can take him over. Now, again, after I was in the Army, I have a, I'm a sergeant major, I'm a big cheese in the Army, next to being an officer, you know. And I have to ship soldiers overseas, process them coming back. During that period, no soldier can go to town. None of your soldiers can go to town. The stationary group. So I pay, come payday, they take you up to Commerce Street and negotiate. Well, Sergeant, you can't let us do nothing. We start shooting crap. You tell us we're making too much noise. You supervise the game. Oh, so I supervise the game. End of the day, I got more money than anybody else. I ain't betting nothing. In town, I take a shiner to some girl who has birthdays every other month, depending on what soul is listening. So she had a birthday on. I'm renting for a nightclub, giving a big durée for her. Came time to tip the waiter. I tipped him and almost began to cry. My father, sharecropper, mill hand, part-time farmer. 1 week with all of this, he made $18. And I counted the $18. And he lectured me, persevere. If you work hard in this country, boy, you see what you can do? $18 in 1 week. Giving a party for this girl who wasn't even a, wasn't a birthday anyway, but party for the job. I tipped the maitre d' more money than my father makes in 3 months. And where did I get all that excess money? Persevering? Not working hard, not being honest. I'd learned to be a little crook for the first time in my life. I got it cutting the crab game. Now that's real. See, too many times you get into fantasy and don't deal with real. Now let's deal with what's real in South Africa. The Boers came into South Africa to rule black. I am not here to give you equality. I am here to rule you. I am ordained by my God to rule over the lesser breed. And I have declared that you are lesser breed. Now, this is the South Africa that Winnie Mandela and Nelson Mandela had to deal with. Now, deal with the human pressure on both of them. Deal with the political pressure on both of them. Deal deal with the mentality of both of them under these different pressures. Deal with people appealing to people for human consideration who have not accepted the humanity of African people. Before they arrived, at the conclusion that they were going to rule over lesser breeds, studying the longest, the most consistent resistance movement in South in our period. At night, I'm studying these movements in the after the fellows have cleaned all the offices and gone.
Vision problems. Place your pinky finger just above your belly button.
I'm sitting at NBC time, studying the struggle in South Africa. And writing a whole book on it. Book after book on resistance movement. Now, Winnie Mandela come out of this 27 years without a husband, still in the struggle. Don't you think we should pay enough respect for her not to get her involved in a Hall of Con game? But if you've never read a single book on the struggle, if you're not following her career for over 30 years, as I have followed her career, 2 hours after Nelson Mandela went to jail, the information was on my desk at Freedom Wins Magazine, where I was one of the editors. I had kept so close in touch with the movement and corresponded. The people in South Africa made correspondence with me, sent me pamphlets, information that nobody else had. How did they do it? They would take a conservative South African paper, take out their guts, put the pamphlets and the information in the middle, then wrap the paper when South African folks could see the paper. Well, they don't understand that paper. There you go. And I would take the New York Times, take the guts out of it, and put my material for South Africa inside, you know. Then when they see, what, the New York Times, they, nobody's harming, nobody's anything. They'd come in. So I was corresponding with the activists in South Africa. Long ago. So now I'm going to sit on stage. She asked me to introduce Winnie Mandela, and I thought she was going to start talking. And here's somebody running a con game, doing an African ceremony all wrong. And she said that told the people, I'm sick. I want to speak strong. You're heading up the aisle. More delay. I'm saying that we have to be real. But what we have to do in the world, there's a book called The Tribes. It deals with everybody in the world, all the major groups in the world, in their fight for a piece of space on a turf called the Earth. Everybody's fighting except ours. Asia is willing to join the Europeans in taking over Africa. Everybody wants piece of Africa, and the Africans are running from Africa. Look at the contradiction. Yet nobody has read, and I've yet to be 10 people have read it, a long essay of William Leo Hansberry, Africa, world's richest continent. Highest rainfall, greatest hydroelectric potential, in spite of several deserts, more fertile soil than any other spot on Earth. Check into Diop, continues this, in a book called Alpha, the Politics of a Federated State, to show you that the river bottoms of Africa from the proper cultivation can not only feed Africa, but maybe one third of the world. Now I sailed down that big Congo River. That parchment of that river is a half a mile wide. All of that water is running to the sea. The sea don't need the extra water. Good engineering can hold that water inside of Africa and wipe out the deserts. And you're talking about nonsense. If you're going to prepare a people to rule a nation, then they've got to be prepared for everything in a nation, including the manufacture of the toilet paper. And when you talk nationhood, you've got to talk technology. If you can't control your rivers, you can't control your nation. You can't control your land, you can't control your nation. You can't control your ideology, you can't control your nation. So don't shout nation time until you understand this. You shout nation time, who's going to fly your aeroplane? Who's going to fly your harbor? Who's going to negotiate with you in international? You got goods over the world that you need. You can bargain on the market. I got some you need. You got some I need. We have an exchange. The real strength of a nation is in its resources. And if you do not manage the wealth-producing resources of your nation, you have no nation, that you are a think you're independent. There is not a nation in Africa where the African people manage the wealth-producing resources in that country. There is not a nation in Africa that is politically free or economically free. Now, that's real. Now, Basil Davidson, one of the white writers who've done the most in telling the truth about modern Africa and how Europe tends to cheapen under its domination, have told us that what happened in Africa, what happened in Africa. Now, I did a book called Who Betrayed the African World Revolution? What went wrong with the Civil Rights Movement? What went wrong with the Caribbean Federation concept? What went wrong with the African Independence Movement? There have been so many betrayals since then, I got to write the whole book over again. Because you cut me out. When you let your wealth-producing resources go to the hand of other people, you are giving up nationhood. Now,
on March 9th, 2022, our commander-in-chief signed an executive order that aims to give Washington at least nearly full control over our money. Executive Order 14067 aims to replace our cash currency with a programmable digital token, a complete reset of the U.S.
Explain, why is it before integration and that bag of wind, you had at least the black gold for every three blocks. Not only one. It was no mystery for them to manage the store. Why do you have their careers in that managing the store now? He said, Arab. If you can't manage your community, you can't manage the nation. You rehearse for nationhood in your community. You rehearse for your community and your family. What did we lose in the process that we have to get back or be destroyed as a people, go out of business as a people? We stop talking to our children. There's a said thing called good manners. There's a said thing that's the proper thing to do. There are certain things in the family that is not negotiable. I mean, we don't discuss whether we forget this. Now, there was a time when if a man said something about your mother, even a coward would fight. He'd rather fight and lose than not to have fought at all. Mother was dear. And the sister didn't come too far behind. We've forgotten all of this. We've forgotten curfew, the father, the authority to be in the home. He said, 11 o'clock, I want you in the house. He said, 11:30. 11 o'clock, I want you here. Been with me. You don't negotiate with him. Master the situation. But we lost reality in that if a family has a structure, you can give a community a structure and subsequently a nation a structure. We are an unstructured people following other people who don't know where they are going. And if we ask the question, leader, where are you leading me? You better get a good answer or replace the leader. Now, haven't we bothered enough people serving their own blessings, lining their own pockets? We haven't asked any questions. And when I began to ask some questions, I became a villain. They took up over $3 million in collection. Million Man March. Why is it? 90% of those people were Christians. Why did the Muslims take up the collection and didn't account to anyone afterwards? And why did you let them get away with it? Because you dared not ask, leader, where are you leading me? Now, if over 1 million men marched on Washington, if each one spends an average of $100. Look how much money you got just right there. And they did more than that. Plus the fact they paid ahead of time. They contributed additional. There was enough money for 6 marches before the first march, before the march took place. And while they're saying they got a deficit, want to raise enough money. And they said that. You haven't asked any questions. What happened to the place? I'm a villain in my own community because people said, can you get 1 million people to Washington? I'm not right or wrong whether I'm 10. That don't make me wrong. I wanted to know, what did you do with the 1 million you took to Washington? And what is the aftermath? What you have not examined is the aftermath. What came after? When you go on a worldwide trip, an entourage of 30, a 4-motor airplane, a 6-man or woman crew, you have spent the same money taken up in Washington could have saved one of the predominantly black colleges. The same money for Trip could have built a chain of supermarkets throughout black America. Who was the Trip supposed to serve? The closest person to a radical that he met in Africa was Winnie Mandela. Most of the others were cop-out compromise. Some were thugs with an army of thugs. Mobutu, who participated in the murder of Lumumba, one of the richest black men on the face of the earth. Some people in his country are starving. One of the richest countries on the face of the earth. Why are they starving? In an African tradition, the ruler is not the owner of the wealth. The ruler is the guardian of the wealth. The role of the ruler is to make sure that things are distributed so everybody can have their share. Now, why did nobody call into being African traditional governments? Why haven't somebody studied the African customary?
My lean, mean, fat reducing grilling machine knocked off the fat.
How did I get here? You wouldn't believe it.
I have attended customary courts all over Africa, and I say that if I'm ever to be tried for one of those courts, it is civil court, because before the Africa knew there was a civil court, they had more democratic justice than anything they had after. And they didn't have one civil trained lawyer. What did they have? Respect for the idea that the elders had lived longer than they had lived and knew more. And their uncle could be in charge of that Supreme Court. We didn't lose all of this America against our will. Because I can remember when there's serious problems in Georgia and Alabama, the first thing you try to do, keep white folks out of it. And we would gather, and they would, the older people would talk about it and spin it out and call the young people concerned in and not ask them what they wanted to do. Tell them, this is what you are going to do. That was an internal family dictatorship. That was authoritarianism. But when we had that kind of authoritarianism, we had no drive-by shooting. We had no people putting poison in their veins. We were not the majority in the jail. Now, show me that this dictatorship through family custom was wrong, inasmuch as once you discarded it, fooled yourself for exploitation by everybody in the world, not just whites, East Asians too. East Asians have taken over the government of Guyana, former British Guyana, and Trinidad. How did the blacks let them do it? We are so democratic toward other people, we are undemocratic toward ourselves. We should preserve these governments for our children still to come. East Indians came in as farm labor, literally coolies, being given privileges by the British, and carefully waited their turn and took over the government because blacks were too kind to them. Now, if you look at this catastrophe, look at the catastrophe in Trinidad. Now, look at the irony of it. Trinidad produced the three major pan-Africanist spiritistians, H. Sylvester Williams, C.L.R. James, and George Padmore. The same island that produced the whole concept of African reclamation and African unity couldn't find it in their will to unite the very island that produced the concept. There's something else even more tragic and terribly personal, maybe shouldn't be mentioned at all. Of the three major pan-Africanists, all three of them had children by black women. Not one ever established a lasting relationship with one. If you're going to unite Africa, you're going to have to unite Africa in bed and out of bed. You've got to unite it symbolically because you cannot lead people back to Africa when the symbol of your mate is alien. The road back to Africa does not start between an alien woman's legs. What I'm saying is that in this regard, both of us have some responsibility. Not all the black man's responsibility, not all the black woman's responsibility. It's responsibility of both of you to realize this. Because white sociologists are saying there must be a war between the black man and the black woman. Because white women live saying it. You feel called on to act out a war they created in their sick mind because they said it. And most of the time, you know, what the hell are we arguing about? We got along before we heard this story. But my point is that we have not faced reality and read enough to know the background to what is happening. Farrakhan go to Iran. Do you think Farrakhan knows enough of African history to know that for 2,000 years before the first Europeans set foot in Africa, for 2,000 years, the enemies of Africa came from Western Asia? And the last invasion of Africa came from Iran. 550 B.C. They were so brutal to Africans. The Africans cried out, oh God, if you cannot send me a liberator, send me a conqueror who will show me mercy. Now, the little Macedonian, sometimes referred to as a Greek, called Alexander, didn't have to knock at Africa's door very hard for Africa. Literally, let him in. To show mercy. It's the first European occupation of Africa. This is 332 80. Now, everything that happened in Africa, everything that happened in Africa before that
for non-Europeans and non-whites. How can they build the pyramids in Africa when they had not built a shoe for themselves in Europe or a house for the window? It's a contradiction. Why do you give so much to other people before you give anything to yourself? Because if we discovered our role in history and read the proper books, even those written by whites, enlightened whites who repudiated the bigoted Europeans, we would know that at this juncture in history, books like The Bell Curve, The Disuniting of America, assuming it was ever united, and now a book called Not Out of Africa, repudiating all Africa's claim, Africa claimed Egypt, and Egypt is part of the Nile Valley that stretches 4,000 miles within the body of Africa. I can show you without any difficulty that Rome and Greece were not European creations. There was no Europe. Opposition to Rome and Greece created Europe. When they got together to protect themselves from Rome and Greece, the Franks became the French. The Huns became the Germans. Scattered warring tribes coming together to protect themselves against the Mediterranean force of Rome and Greece, and therefore becoming a state in the process. How can they, without even a state or an organized army, go all the way and organize Egypt when they hadn't even organized the fair shoe? We need to ask some serious questions about our understanding of history, but you've got to know more than history. You've got to know a comparative knowledge of history. You've got to know something about European atrocities to other Europeans. Now, we made a lot to do about a dead 500,000 people killed in Rwanda by Africans against Africans. Okay, Arthur Davis has written an article explaining how the French set it up with the Belgium, how the Belgium put the Tutsis or Watutis against the Hutus or Bahutus, installed a minority Africans over a majority. So the big Tutsis made the smaller Hutus their servants and treated them ruthlessly under Belgian rule. The war was a war of revenge set up by Europeans, not Africans. There was a time before this interference when if the Tutsis had a difference of opinion with the Hutus, would they send their warriors? No. They would send their dancers. Who wins the dance contest wins the war. Nobody got hurt. Give the loser a big banquet. Let him go home. We didn't lose that in the United States. I remember in Gethsemane Baptist, and when I was growing up, there was only two denominations, Baptist and Methodist. The rest of the people were strange people. We didn't pay much attention to them anyway. So the Catholic was some kind of gypsy. Because of the long rope, so mean. The Baptists and the Methodists were the only denomination to be considered. Rocktail minister came to our church. He wanted to make an announcement. He wanted to challenge our choir. Singing contest. Head of our female Amen corner, Miss Elsie,
would you dare come into a Baptist church and challenge us to out-sing? And question whether we can out-sing a Methodist? And so he issued the challenge again. Save our pride, our honor. We gathered up our lead singers, wagon, went to the church. First, we resented the fact that the church is called Bethel. How dare you Methodists call a church Bethel? That's a Baptist name. Out of place, even choosing a name for your church. More out of place, even thinking that you can out-sing our choir. So we go to Bethel to discover that the same little minister had challenged about 12 other churches and 12 other choirs. And we sang and we sang and we sang. And we won, of course. But he took up enough money to burn his mortgage. And that was the reason in the first place. Then, because we had suspicions of Methodists, because they got sprinkled, so they could possibly end up in beyond the pearly gate. But we had some toleration for them. They were at least human beings. So after this singing contest, the Methodists began to bring out more than a slight repast. The Romans didn't eat that well or cook that well. And we ate until we could almost fall. Sister Ilse said, thanking them, you Methodists sure can cook even if you can't sing. And so when we pass Methodist church and hear the bad singing, we bow and said, well, at least they can cook. And what's all of this to do with what I'm talking about, faced in reality about Africa? We didn't lose everything. Some of the customs carried over. But these customs, African traditional customs of self-help. We never heard of the word adoption. We're taken in. Some woman would take in some family, take in a child, and no mother, no father. Raised a man or a woman with no papers, no nothing. No court, got nothing to do with it. Now we let the court take away children who shouldn't be taken away. Don't take away those who should be taken away. Because we have no community coordination. We've got no community coordination in understanding what is happening to us politically in the world. To understand what is happening to us politically is to realize no one came into Africa to do African people any good. I have no exception. You can be as Islamic as you want to. And why not? You're created. But you don't have to follow a bunch of fools and indulge the slave trade and turn your back. Or this go rampant, prove everything. I'm saying once you look at what is happening and what has to happen, you've got to understand that there's a point where we missed the boat. We missed the boat because we did not become serious about serious things. So we had the civil rights movement and civil rights pimps, the anti-poverty movement, anti-poverty pimps, studies movement, black studies pimps. Once we learn to get these pimps out of our system and out of our life and faith
people who assume responsibility. And we protect the people who assume responsibility. I am not an admirer of any form of totalitarian Islam that takes away the basic dignity of a human being. I am not an admirer of Adolf Hitler. Yet, if you read without prejudice, Mein Kampf, that is one of the finest documents on social organization that has been written. Read it without prejudice. The one thing he says about organization, if someone can do a job and do it well, do it without corruption, keep all the parasites and detractors away from him and let him do his job. That's still true. That's still true. Every time you want to do a job for black people, all the detractors and everybody come around. But everybody wants the front position for the washing of the ego, but not for service. We suffer from an untreated disease, ego starvation. We are longing for the front position, because it makes us feel powerful, but does not assign to us the responsibility of power. That a free people must be a responsible people. A free people must be an honest people, must be an uncorruptible people. I could have done many other things with my life. I've never had a fortune or yearn for one. I don't think I could manage one right now, because I don't think I can find enough people I can trust to help me manage it. I never owned a car, because I can't park very well, and besides, public transportation is so expensive. Accessible to me when I had my full vision, that I didn't see the necessity of owning a car. And just at a time, I thought I would buy myself a little Honda just for my, because the family car was always gone or being used for other reasons. Well, nature, circumstances, so fit to my eyesight. I could have sat down and cried. I could have lived on my little pension and Social Security. But I realized one thing. My greatest facility was still there. With eyesight, you can analyze, observe. I was good at observing audiences, observing classes. And I could tell when there's a dull light in the student's eyes. I'm not to sit and blame the student, not to call them dumb. Give me 3 weeks. I'll put some light in that eye. I can't time a motor. I can't even mix a decent drink. But I can teach. Let me do. But I am most able to do, let each one in our struggle do what he's best suited to do.
Yes.
And do it well.
Yes.
I'm willing to turn the administration and clerk work over to someone else. But when it came to the analysis, the training researches, and I never strive for a great degree.
I thought 50 years. I reckon one semester in finishing grammar school. I trained so many students in PhDs, kept to write PhDs. So soon after I began to have difficulties with my eyesight, answered a letter of civic.
Thank you. time for the next generation of football stars to take the stage.
Being here means everything to me.
Live, with appearances by Chris Pratt and the Jonas Brothers. The NFL Draft Live, starting Thursday on ABC.
Two Sundays, one goal. Join ABC7's Help End MS Forever. Bring your friends and family to Soldier Field to walk MS on April 30th, or head out to the suburbs on May 7th. A tour is on the line, go online to register today.
Sure, you remember the Jewelry Exchange has festival bands, $189, half carat anniversary bands, $399, 1 carat, $699, 2 carat, 3 stone rings, $1,490. Thousands of gifts guaranteed to a price for double. The Jewelry Exchange, Miller Park. Here's this, with McDonald's hash browns, the side that makes every breakfast sandwich better. Let's open it. Hash browns, make the massive sausage burrito with a second pick for $2.49.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us. April was Autism Awareness Acceptance Month, and if more people are diagnosed with this developmental disability, your concerns arise. Autism can create communication and behavior challenges for millions of Americans in the spectrum. The families you're about to meet say those challenges led to tragic outcomes when their autistic son encountered law enforcement. At a moment when there are more questions than ever about racial bias and policing, here's ABC's Deborah Robinson.
He loves to compose his own music. He is self-taught. He is a shining star.
So 25-year-old Matthew Russian, the piano is just a passion. It's a safe place. Music is a way to help him process the world around him.
It was in sixth grade when I found out, yes, he was unfortunate. Yes, he would want to be by himself sometimes, but he was so high functioning, he continuously had that ability to read and understand.
His fellow autistic traits are the syndrome in this years-long fight to clear Matthew's name. After he caused a life-threatening multi-vehicle car crash in 2019. A tragedy made worse by what the gun claims was the Virginia Beach Police Department's misinterpretation of Matthew's behavior as criminal. She said that night in 2019 still upset her son.
Matthew was going to join us, but this became too much for him to talk about. Yes, it was a lot for him to handle.
Autism is a neurological condition. In some cases, it impacts their cognitive abilities. Individuals may be nonverbal, or if they are verbal, they may be prone to repeat themselves. Oftentimes, individuals with autism also have sensory processing issues. They may not be able to withstand bright lights or loud sounds.
Laverne is grateful her son is alive. The worst of deadly outcomes between law enforcement and Black Americans well documented. Studies estimate Blacks were 2 to 3 times more likely to be killed by police than whites. Having autism can escalate the situation.
Many individuals with autism don't respond immediately to command, so that may be seen as a form of noncompliance, when in actuality, it's that person with autism not understanding those commands in the way that they are being spoken or shouted out by law enforcement.
A 2016 study found around 20% of youth with autism had been stopped, questioned by police, and nearly 5% had been arrested by age 21.
You're a Black mom. Had you talked to him about possibly having an encounter with police?
We had that talk with him of if you ever get pulled over, what to do. Put your hands, you know, on the steering wheel. You know, first identify himself as being autistic and or just comply. And then think, can I call my mom or can I call my dad?
In January 2019, Matthew was driving in a parking lot with prosecutors that he struck another moving vehicle, fleeing the scene. They say he drove 65 miles an hour into oncoming traffic, hitting
Are you trying to kill yourself so Matthew repeats that narrative to prosecute him, to charge him?
The Russians don't dispute that Matthew was at fault, but argue his actions that night were not intentional or criminal, as police reported. Laverne says her son was in the midst of a medical crisis caused by a traumatic brain injury sustained in a 2017 car accident.
He had a focal seizure, blacked out, because all he saw was light.
You know, some people would, though, ask, why was he driving if he had these medical issues?
We didn't understand the severity of seizures and how it could affect someone. If they had taken him to the hospital immediately, they would have known he was going through a medical episode.
Matthew wasn't taken to the hospital that night. Instead, officers took him into custody for attempted murder. The driver in one of the vehicles Matthew hit, now 76-year-old George Timothy, was so badly injured he'll never walk, talk, or feed himself again. He requires 24-hour care in a nursing home. He did some serious damage to people that day.
My heart goes out to them. Matthew wishes he could take that night back.
In August 2019, Matthew pleaded guilty to 3 felony counts and was sentenced to 10 years in prison. Laverne says the sentence was unfair and took to social media to tell Matthew's story, the posts going viral.
I truly believe that in the petitions and the posts, just everything was brought out because he's a black autistic young man that was wrongfully prosecuted.
In early 2021, after more than 2 years behind bars, Matthew was released. Granted, a conditional pardon by then Virginia Governor Ralph Northam.
I was never going to let him go again.
Matthew is still considered a felon and under supervised probation. He's not allowed to drive or contact his victims and their families. The Russians are seeking a full exoneration, saying Matthew's criminal record makes it harder for him to get a job.
You can't fault somebody for having a medical episode, just like you can't fault someone from having a heart attack behind the wheel.
But the Cusick family is convinced Matthew intentionally crashed his car and strongly oppose any change to his status. His wife telling ABC News, Matthew Russian should not have been driving that night. He should never drive again. The parole restrictions must remain in place to protect him and the public. And the Virginia Beach Police Department also standing by their actions, saying all their officers have been trained to identify and respond to people with autism, expressing sympathy for all who were impacted by the events of this tragic day.
Matthew didn't willfully cause that accident. My son is not a killer.
Like Laverne, Eun and Sylvester Isogier say they know all too well how it feels to have an autistic child being misunderstood by the police. Their 29-year-old son, Osaze, was shot and killed by an officer 4 years ago. His violent death, a stark contrast to the devout and religious gentle giant they loved.
What was he like as a child growing up? Osaze was very, very quiet, gentle, always happy. He never once fought.
And he was the peacemaker. He was the one that would try to make sure that they don't fight and that they get along very well.
His death is so shocking it made headlines in the small town of State College, Pennsylvania.
He was killed by State College police officers during a mental health check after he had lunged at them with a knife.
I felt a shot right here. I called my help.
The family saying local police knew their son. In addition to autism, he also has schizophrenia and sometimes needed extra support.
They've had to take him to a hospital whenever he felt like he was having a breakdown. So a number of them knew him quite well.
So did you say to the police about how to deal with him, or did you sense that they understood?
We actually thought they understood because they knew his situation.
As a young adult, Osaze had been part of a residential program, living with some of his peers.
He was in a structured environment. He related well with people. He liked his pattern of activities. He did not want to deviate from anything he was comfortable in.
But as
when he was not in that structured environment, the level of discouragement and anxiety was overwhelming, and that's when he got off his medication, and his situation would just spiral.
In early 2019, a big change. Osaze leaving the program. programming, moving into an apartment with a roommate. Just a month, Sylvester received concerning texts and calls from his son. One message saying there would be trouble with the police in a little bit. Sylvester immediately rushing to his son.
I wanted to be sure that he was safe, and I wanted to be sure that he did not encounter somebody.
He was worried that he might hurt someone or hurt himself.
Or hurt himself, yes.
Finding Osande's apartment empty, he frantically searched for him for hours, eventually calling police for help. But Osande wasn't found. The next morning, Sylvester went back to the apartment to find police already there. What were you told?
I knew something had happened because I saw many police vehicles and many TV, many members of the press there as well. And eventually, they told me that they confronted him, that he had a knife and they shot him.
Police say someone called them after spotting Osande at a nearby grocery store that morning. An officer whose family says didn't know their son was sent to the apartment. When Osande opened the door, police say there was a tense confrontation because he had a knife in his hand. After trying unsuccessfully to subdue him, police responded with gunfire.
Somebody could have called me to say, hey, come here, we need your assistance. But none of that was done.
If luck went wrong, just men with guns that show up to an autistic child's apartment and give him a million instructions, it shouldn't be this way.
Did you ever, ever envision that you would lose your son this way?
Not in a million years.
2 months later, the district attorney announced no charges would be filed, saying the shooting was justified.
Everything around us and everything we have seen show that their own policies were not even followed.
The Osagis have since filed a lawsuit, claiming, in part, the police did not respond appropriately to someone with a known disability having a crisis, and that they used excessive force. In response, State College called the incident a tragic situation for all involved and insisted the police have handled thousands of other mental health-related calls, including several with Osande, with a number of these calls involving threats of violence and weapons, and none previously ended with a negative result and or the need to deploy deadly force.
Do you think that maybe if he was not a black young man, they may have taken a little more caution? I made it very clear to them, personally. That if that had been their son, at the other end of their gun, they wouldn't kill them. When people have mental health issues or they have autism, there's a way we society can sort of put them on the margin and not realize that they're very important in this world. And it's only the people who love them, who know them, that really know that they have a place in this world.
Coming up.
You can't just serve and collect a check and go home.
How one police officer is hoping small steps can lead to big change.
We just look for different things in the packet that help guide the officer along the way.
Every detail counts. So I live my life Lexi V2 hearing aids, powered by Bose. Providing quality, cutting edge tech, and performance. When I began experiencing hearing loss, I knew I needed the best of the best. Lexi V2 hearing aids, powered by Bose, are app-controlled and self-fitting, which means I can tune and customize them to my needs and preferences on the Lexi app and enjoy high-quality hearing. No appointment necessary, from ordering my first pair online to front-door delivery and a secure, discreet fit. Lexi V2 hearing aids, powered by Bose, offer quality, convenience, and exceptional customer support at every step of my journey. If you're ready to elevate to the next level with world-class hearing, take the lead and call or order online at LexiHearing.com to receive your Lexi V2 hearing aids powered by Bose today.
Call 800-540-1951 today to find out if you can get your Lexi at 80% less than prescription hearing aid prices.
Stop, waiter. I need to elevate here now. Waiting! Save up to 80% off. Get free shipping on everything and pay your way with a Wayfair credit card. Save big this play day now.
Wayfair, you've got just what I need.
Want a worry-free way to kill bugs? Shivo traps use light, not odors or chemical insecticides, to attract and trap flying insects. They work continuously, so you don't have to.
The
placebo. People friendly, bug deadly.
Hi, Phil Swift here for Flex Shield, the easy way to coat, seal, and stop leaks fast. Flex Shield is actually liquid rubber in a can. Go grab a can of Flex Shield at these fine retailers.
It's nothing.
Sounds like something. When you have major hypertension,
that's a Pepto-Bismol coat to soothe the fast release when you need it most.
Get ready for the next generation of football stars to take the stage.
Being here means everything to me.
Live, with appearances by Chris Pratt and the Jonas Brothers. The NFL Draft Live, starting Thursday on ABC.
Car wrecks don't keep regular business hours, and neither do we. If you've been hurt in a car wreck after 5 p.m., don't wait till tomorrow to get the help you need now. At Lerner & Rowe, we're 24/7 injury attorney. Call 2222. Now handling your strip for your urine cancer cases.
I'm Karen. I'm living with HIV, and I'm on Cabenuva.
For adults who are undetectable, Cabenuva is the only complete long-acting HIV treatment you can get every other month. It's 2 injections from a healthcare provider.
I really like the flexibility. And for me, it's one of the things to think about while traveling.
Don't receive Cabenuva if you're allergic to its ingredients or if you're taking certain medicines which may interact with Cabenuva. Serious side effects include allergic reactions, post-injection reactions, liver problems, and depression. If you have a rash and other allergic reaction symptoms, stop Cabenuva and get medical help right away. Tell your doctor if you have liver problems or mental health concerns. And if you are pregnant, breastfeeding, or considering pregnancy, some of the most common side effects include injection site reactions, fever, and tiredness. If you switch to Cabenuva, attend all treatment appointments. Ready to treat your HIV in a different way? Ask your doctor about every other month Cabenuva. With every other month Cabenuva,
I'm good to go. Hi. Hey. Look what you've done.
Thanks. Look, I finally cut the cable, switched to Verizon Home Internet.
Cable Internet wasn't cutting mustard, right?
No, it's rule. I just plugged it in. Boom.
And there's no surprise price tags for hidden fees.
Cut my bill down to just $25 a month.
Exactly.
Cut to Jessica with the amazing speed and reliability of Verizon.
Hey, get off my side!
Cut the cable and cut your internet bill to just $25 a month and switch with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee with Verizon Home Internet. Verizon.
Car wrecks don't keep regular business hours, and neither do we. If you've been hurt in a car wreck after 5 p.m., don't wait till tomorrow to get the help you need now. At Lerner & Rowe, we're 24/7 injury attorney. Call 2222.
Now handling your straightener uterine cancer cases. James Yancey III is the baby of the family. Loved to the core by Mom Wendy.
James is a very energetic, happy, sweet boy. Loved his numbers, loved math. He has autistic tendencies, and I'm learning a lot about the rest of the autistic world that I don't know. So he's teaching me.
How much do you worry about him as he's integrating into the world?
I am worried that one day James, as a young man, could be at the wrong place, the wrong time, and maybe display some of these tendencies that someone doesn't understand, that an officer doesn't understand, that the general public doesn't understand. And how do I protect him?
For Wendy, those worries aren't just personal. They're also professional. For the past 16 years, she's done her best to protect and serve the small, tight-knit village of Sleepy Hollow, just north of New York City.
I grew up in Sleepy Hollow. I lived here my whole life.
Even making history as the first Black female police officer there.
On the one hand, you have to deal with the risks of being a police officer, a Black female police officer, but yet you have a Black son who might deal with risks potentially at the hands of police. How do you balance that concern in your mind?
I think just as a mom, we do what's best for our children, you know, and then I wake up every day and I put this uniform on. Community. You don't want to treat someone in a way that you wouldn't want somebody to treat your own mom, your own child.
Unfortunately, we see in law enforcement is that most of societal issues are placed upon the officer in the street. Now, all of a sudden, that he or she has to react immediately and be able to see something, and make that pivot almost immediately.
Making it all the more important for police officers to understand and recognize autism.
Shut up!
We first met Austrian via his training in 2021, which he was learning to do just that.
How many times are you going to put a demand on somebody with autism until they lose it, right?
The small group of officers and first responders learning how to approach and identify those with autism.
There's no genetic test for autism. Our kids look typical.
After this training session, I realized I wasn't as equipped as I should have been. This type of training should be given to police departments as a whole.
Right now, only 8 states require law enforcement to receive training specifically related to autism.
Aren't police officers, do you think, open to being trained to see people in a more compassionate, empathic way? In my department, I've found that they are much more now than ever. Broadly, I think we have ways to go.
She's hoping to close the gap, at least in her town, creating a program for families to voluntarily share information about autistic loved ones with her department.
They can register their child. They provide a photo, their child's name, doctor, school, age. But the important piece is, what do they like? What are their interests? Do they have noise sensitivity? Do you scare them if you're standing above them? You need to kneel down.
The benefit of registering.
So, for example, if it's noise sensitivity, right, we would know, as we put it in here, that we have to tell officers to arrive with the sirens off.
Okay?
And then this way he's not triggered or you know, upset.
I think the registry is a great idea. You could put into a database, put into your 9/11 computers, exactly when someone responds to that location, someone with autism is in the house. So they can make their decisions as they're coming up before they get to the scene.
It's a program that could help others before it's too late.
Let's rock and roll. You can't just go and collect the check and go home. You need to sit with the people, talk to the people, and show you who cares. The only way they trust you is if they know you. And they can't know you from behind the little car.
Our thanks to Deborah. We'll be right back with the final thought.
Are you tired of washing dishes?
Well, flip the way you clean them with Dawn Bottom Easy Squeeze. It's an upside-down bottle with no cap. You just grab and squeeze. Dawn Platinum's more powerful formula breaks down and removes grease 4 times faster. Huh, nice. No flip, no mess. Platinum is also a go-to grease cleaner for your sink, your countertops, and your pre-treat stains on laundry. Fast, easy. Dawn Platinum Easy Squeeze. Put the way you clean dishes.
I have moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Now, there's Skyrizi. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clearer skin at 4 months after just 2 doses. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infection or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, had a vaccine, or plan to.
Talk to your dermatologist about Skyrizi. Learn how AbbVie could help you save.
I'm about to give one lucky fan the magical surprise dream to fly to L.A. and see the premiere of my new film, which I'll see you live on Good Morning America.
We're non-stick service. You're great for scrambling eggs, but to drive on, good thing we have amazing traction. Let's bond. Toyota all-wheel drive vehicle. Toyota. Let's go places.
When you're ready for summer, but your AC is... It's nice to know help is just around the corner. Call now to get the best offer of the year. Buy your AC and so much more. Call the knowledgeable professionals at ABC to get the job done right. But don't wait. Buy one, get one free is only available for a limited time. Trust ABC Plumbing, Sewer, Heating, Cooling, and Electric and consider it done.
Good news! This just in. Your Ford dealers have fresh shipments of their award-winning SUV lineup in stock and ready for you to drive home today. Get your hands on a new Ford, the number one brand in SUV owner loyalty, including Bronco Sport with standard goat loads and Explorer, America's all-time best-selling SUV. And now, here's more good news. Choose Flex Buy on Explorer or Edge and get 0.9%. APR financing for 66 months plus 500 flex financing. Make your first move with battery power from made by steel.
You call me.
Right now, save $50 on the FSA business battery trimmer. Bring out steel. Buy yours.
I thought they might be up.
Those who enjoy it.
I called y'all all this morning. You went out to the line
and meet your kids. Hey, man. With Bueno, more Bueno.
Say, I thought you were doing work.
How did I get that? Not to that place, but to that space in return.
Oh, yes, sir. Call.
They say you are all the ages we've ever been. It is these precious and fleeting experiences. We can get by for all the summer trips. Experience together. Travel that replaces words with images, feelings, senses that shape us and make us who we are. Explore Minnesota.
Here sits the McDonald's hash brown, letting the breakfast sandwich shine, giving it undying support. The side that makes every meal better. Let's all be more like the hash brown.
Breakfast at McDonald's is the only way to start the day. Mix and match a tasty sausage burrito with a sausage biscuit, a sausage McMuffin, or a hash brown. Get two for just $2.29.
Dear Nonstick Service, it's great for scrambling eggs, but to drive on, good thing we have amazing traction. The Bond, the Toyota all-wheel drive vehicle. Toyota. Let's go, please.
Seven eyewitness reviews.
At Family Tonight, we've been reminded this evening the intersection of race and justice and autism is complicated. Various shareholders. It was the late Norman Vincent Peale who said every problem has the seeds of its own solution. If you don't have any problems, don't have any seats. That's my line for this evening. Thanks for the company, America. Good night.
More Americans choose aviation. America.
Odyssey Roofing Spring Sales Event is here. Get a new roof starting at $99 a month. Call by Wednesday and get $1,200 off your roof replacement and free gutters. Call Odyssey Roofing today for a free estimate.
Did you know about 25 million children in the U.S. grow up fatherless? These kids are more likely to drop out of school, 20 times more likely to end up in prison, and 50 to 100% more likely to be addicted to drugs. I'm attorney Jeffrey Loving. Our elite team of lawyers focus on protecting fathers' rights. Call me for help if you're a dad struggling with divorce, child support, or visitation. To learn more about your rights, call 312-356-DADS and visit dadsrights.com.
Oh, sweet child of mine. Oh, sweet
child of mine. Odyssey Roofing Spring Sales Event is here. Get a new roof starting at $99 a month. Call by Wednesday and get $1,200 off your roof replacement and free gutters. Call Odyssey Roofing today for a free estimate.
It's me. Peter.
Peter! Peter!
Peter Pan and Wendy, rated PG. The movie event arrives Friday, only on Disney Plus.
It's live with Julie Hart.
Thank you.
Love the color.
Looking like spring up there.
If only the weather would match.
I know, I know. We're trying to keep things up.
Yes, we are. We are.
Our son is coming home today.
The man cub
is returning. We're very excited about that. Lots of joys in the house.
She described it as a disturbance in the force.
Disturbance in the force? Yes. That is true. Can't wait for him to get home just in time.
We did it last night.
Sure did.
No.
Not that.
We finished The Diplomat.
Binge that show like
a pig. Yeah, it's so good. Gentlemen, can we get the husband, Rufus Sewell? I would like to meet him. Yeah, we should get him on the show because he's so suave and smart, and he can maneuver. You have a different opinion about his character, right?
I think he's manipulative and underhanded and sneaky. And it really is such a married couple's experience watching this show.
It really is.
It really is.
Yeah. And
Mark's like, isn't he suave and debonair? And I go, not really.
And Kerry Russell said
they try
to be impossible. On that show.
Yeah.
They try to, like, make her look very normal, right?
They try.
To, like, no makeup, dirty hair, she's still Kerry Russell.
She's still Kerry Russell. Kerry Russell's her way right through that show. So good. So, so good. I'm so sad that it's over.
Well, it's over. For you guys, it's probably just...
Yeah, and have you seen it yet? Okay. When you leave here, I'm going to give you homework. Watch The Diplomat. So that when you come back, we have stuff to talk about.
Okay. I'm just going to describe the show. Describe the cross between Homeland and The West Wing, a little bit of Succession. And what's interesting is that the creator wrote for Homeland and for The West Wing.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So you were
I felt that that's really, really smart. And all the storylines, you know, sometimes you watch a show and they have an ABC storyline, like, I can see one of that.
Thank you.
You haven't noticed?